Tina co-founded She Runs, a non-for-profit organization focused on supporting women's political, economic, and civic participation. Led by independent candidate for Australian federal seat of Kurt, Kay Cheney, this episode will provide insights and reflection into the diversity, drive, and apathy required to get the best out of politics in Australia and the impact of the She Runs campaign school.
Hello, Martina. It's very nice to talk to you today.
Hi, Cade. How are you?
I'm well. Why don't you tell us where you're coming from today on this podcast?
So currently I am in my home country of Slovakia, and I've been here on and off for the past 2 months working with a wonderful organization called the Walk Free Foundation. And the organization is working to find solutions to end modern slavery and human trafficking in this generation.
And what are you doing in Slovakia then?
So currently I am in my parents' house and I am giving the working from home a completely new meaning. So after 2 years of working from home, I'm actually working from home right now.
Fantastic. And you mentioned that there's a bit of snow there at the moment, is there?
Yes, so it's the end of March and we have a wonderful snowy weather still, which is unusual for this time of the year. So I'm trying to make the most out of it, and hopefully just before I leave, I'll get to snowboard as well. So fingers crossed.
Fantastic. Now, do you want to start with telling us a little bit about yourself, what you studied at UWA and what you remember about your time at UWA?
So I started thinking about this earlier today when I remember that we're doing this podcast, and then I realized that I studied at UWA 10 years ago. So that really sort of puts you in the age bracket where I'm at. So I'm going to be turning 35 this year, and I graduated almost 10 years ago, which seems a little bit crazy. I studied a master's in international relations, and I just remember being in very small classes, having lots and lots and lots of discussions with my classmates about the state of the world. Because my classmates at the time were from different walks of life. There were those who wanted to work for DFAT. There were those who were interested in working in international development, such as myself. There were those interested in public policy who are now working for Google. So what was really exciting about the cohort that I was in at the time was just the variety of backgrounds and opinions. A really good friend of mine was on exchange from Denmark in Western Australia. And just the way she studied has opened up a whole new way of educating myself about world issues as well. So I really remember vibrant classes. I remember a lot of discussions, a lot of time at the TAV discussing the ideas as well. And a lot of professional context that I was able to gain through my time at UWA.
You feel old graduating 10 years ago. I started at UWA 30 years ago now, which is terrifying, and did some arts there and then did law. And my favourite UWA memory probably is linked to the tavern. I was president of the tavern, as was my husband a few years before me. So it is interesting now to drive past and look back on what was the same and what was different that long ago. Can you tell us a little bit about She Runs, which you co-founded? Tell us about what it is and what inspired you to found it.
Absolutely. My co-founder, Jessica Smith, and I have been friends for pretty much a decade. I think we actually started being friends around the same time when I was at UWA. And Jess and I kept on having multiple discussions about not seeing ourselves represented in politics, not seeing women like ourselves, women from migrant background, women of color represented ourselves in politics. And we just sort of thought to ourselves, we need to do something about it. And years went on and on and on. And then the pandemic started and we're like, okay, we're going to do something about it. And we sort of didn't necessarily have a proper idea of what we wanted to do. We just knew that it needs to be something around capacity building, because the more conversations we were having with the women that we would like to see in politics one day, and those who are currently working in politics, we realized that there is a little bit of a capacity issue for women not necessarily understanding what they're capable of and what goes into a role of an elected official or someone working within a political party. So first COVID year, we're all excited, full of ideas. We're going to put all our free time into She Runs, and we've co-founded an organization that is working to get more women interested in politics and running for an office. The women that we target with our campaign school, which is our signature program, are women that aren't necessarily that involved with politics at the moment. They might be leaders within their own communities. They might be leaders, you know, they might be presidents of the school tavern, and that's the type of women we definitely want in politics. We really sort of started looking around, okay, who are the women that we want in politics? And we started creating this program called Campaign School that is showing women what it's like to be an elected official, what it's like to work for a political party, what it's like to work in a politician's office, and really giving them the 360 of what goes usually in the closed doors.
And Martina, what do you think the barriers are to women entering politics?
Where do we even start? When you look at the secretive nature of politics and how the deals are made, that would be sort of number one thing, where you sort of actually don't even know where to start and who to tap on the shoulder to ask, like, okay, I want to run one day. What do I do? I mean, what did you do, Kate? Did you Google it? Did you talk to someone? Right?
It's a really good question. And so I became aware of She Runs last year, and through a friend, but also I think I followed you on Facebook. And I remember thinking at the time, yeah, that's really interesting. And I can imagine one day that being part of my future. But even then, and the reason I ask you about barriers is I thought, well, I don't know that I'd feel comfortable putting myself up for that. And even turning up to an event and suggesting that I could, you know, perhaps be an appropriate candidate. So for me, it really wasn't until I was approached by a community group who said, we're looking for a candidate and we think you'd be good, that I felt like I really was given permission to consider that as an option. And that's after a long career in a variety of different environments, but still there is this, and I suspect that some of it is gender-based, this reluctance to put yourself forward and actually step into that role voluntarily.
I mean, you just summarize it so well, Kate. There are so many barriers discouraging women from participating in politics, and they're either systemic or they're psychological, like you just described. I mean, a lot of the times there are these behavioral expectations around leadership, about how a leader, especially political leader, should behave, and being like, oh, that's not me. I don't behave like those dudes that I see on telly. That's not me. So maybe this is not for me. Maybe I just need to work a little bit more, and maybe I just need to, show up later. I'll put it behind me, and I'll think about it later. And then of course, you have family responsibilities, which are usually associated with women. I think that the norms are changing now, but still largely when it comes to care for children and parents, it's still, the burden is still on women. So if you add that to the mix, and a lot of the times when you see the discrimination in a workplace that is happening around Australia, especially in politics, why would you want to run for politics, right? And that to you, like, why would you want to, when you sort of add this entire mix in a bag, why are you running, Kate?
Well, it is a good question, and one that I gave a lot of thought to, because I could think of about 20 reasons not to run, some of which you've described, but the one big reason was that it really matters. And I got to the point where I thought, the system's broken. We are actually the system. And if I'm not going to do it, who do I think is going to do it? I've got a lot, I've got a diverse background, strong family support, you know, great husband, the kids are a bit older, good mental health. If I'm not going to do it, there isn't going to be magically someone who is in a better position. So, it's really that sense of it's important and it matters and I've got something to offer, which overrides all of the other myriad reasons not to take that path. Yeah. Martina, do you think that that it's different in Australia to elsewhere? Is politics more appealing or more welcoming or an easier career path in other countries, or is this a global phenomenon?
This is a really interesting question. This is something that we're actually looking into at the moment. Sheeran is working with Dr. Alexander Lukshite from UW Business School on looking into why women do or don't run for politics, especially here in Western Australia. And one part of the research that we're sort of thinking into the future is actually trying to compare ourselves to the rest of the world. So if you ask me this question about 5 to 10 years, I'm going to have data to support my answer. But at the moment, when you sort of look at the range of barriers, and because we talked about them being psychological and being systemic, in a lot of countries, the systemic barriers are far greater than in Australia, and the psychological barriers might not be, and vice versa. If you look at the systemic barriers in a lot of the Scandinavian countries, such as Sweden or Finland, the systemic barriers are not going to be a great problem. Are there psychological barriers to women entering politics? Probably. And I would sort of assume that if you look at sort of some of the Middle Eastern countries where women weren't allowed to drive up until a couple of years ago, the systemic barriers to being a female in politics are far, far, far greater.
Those psychological barriers probably apply consistently, but it's good to know that the systemic barriers are not as bad here as in some other places. Tell us a little bit more about a campaign school and the sort of people who are signing up for that and what that experience is like.
So Campaign School is our signature program for She Runs. And at the moment, we ran it as a sort of a four-week boot camp. And my board is virtually going to be so angry that I'm calling it a boot camp, but that's what it is. It's a boot camp in how to start in political life here in Western Australia, whether you are a member of Liberals, Labor, Greens, whether you want to run as an independent, whether you want to run for council, state or federal parliament. We designed this program around the needs of the COVID life, right? 4-week program that we sort of can change the modules around any lockdowns, anything else that is happening. We can go online if we have to. But really, it gives you an opportunity to A, meet those who are making decisions on behalf of the political parties here in Western Australia, those who are already in political spotlight, those who are thinking about running, and those who support everyone else. So the party masterminds, those who are running communications, campaigns, even those who are canvassing on the streets, because it is an incredible skill to know what to do when you're canvassing or when you're door knocking. So we really are trying to give everyone a 360 overview of what goes into becoming a candidate here in Western Australia. We focus on Western Australia purely because we want to start from our community, and it is what we know, and at this stage, that's the sort of only geographic area that we're looking into. Some of the modules that we have within our campaign school, we're looking at, you know, how do you form a policy as a candidate, right? Like that's, and you could speak about this, that's not easy. What are going to be the things that you will, you know, take a bullet for? What are sort of some of the things that you're incredibly passionate about? What are some of the things that the party wants you to promote? And how do you look at your own sort of ethics of supporting something that you might necessarily be passionate about in order to get something greater done in the future? So we are taking our fellows, that's what we call them, through 360 review of what goes into political life here in Western Australia, while connecting them with those who are either making decisions in politics or already in a political life.
And Martina, tell me, what prompted your interest in politics, and what experience have you had that has led into you designing and presenting this course?
I've always been interested in politics. Like, I don't remember a time in my life when it wasn't a Sunday afternoon and we weren't listening to a political show and the entire family would be glued on to the screen and discussing the ideas presented on the screen. So I've always been involved in politics informally through my family. And then when I moved to Australia, I just didn't feel like I was represented. And I felt, you know, quite disempowered about it. And I felt that my voice doesn't matter. For a very long time, I was here on a student visa. I couldn't vote. I couldn't run. And I sort of felt to myself, like, the moment I'm going to get my Australian citizenship, I'm going to do something about it. And that's what happened. I mean, we registered our organization on 1st of July, 2020. I got my citizenship like 3 days before that. And it was something that I knew that I really wanted to do. Like, I'm just like, the moment I can be a person whose voice matters, I'm going to do something about it. Not that voice of migrants and those who are here on different types of visa doesn't matter. But when you look at the system, it is very difficult to account for their needs because, you know, how do you ensure that those in power listen to you? Through voting a lot of the times. And if you cannot vote in a country, then you feel, especially psychologically, a lot of the times that your voice doesn't matter. So, yeah, and I forgot the second part of the question. I'm so sorry.
Me too, but that was a good first part. I'm interested in, given that passion that you had for politics and that need that you saw to have women and culturally diverse women represented in politics, I'm interested in your thought process about running for politics yourself as opposed to setting up She Runs. Tell me about that.
So my entire life, I've worked in campaigning and advocacy while at the same time tutoring and instructing at university in politics and international relations. So my whole life, I've been working on developing capacity of others. So it never sort of occurred to me that I would be the one running first and then bringing everyone else along. My thinking, and definitely the thinking of my co-founder and the board, was we're going to build a capacity of a lot of women that can then take on Western Australia and then rest of Australia and the world. And that was really our thinking to start with. It was never about, you know, if you have just one candidate, which is absolutely fantastic, and even just getting one female candidate through is all the time, a lot of work. But imagine if we start planting the seeds for these incredible women, and trust me, the cohort, you know, last year and this year, they're both incredible. If we sort of suddenly have 10, 15 women popping up in the next 5 to 10 years, wouldn't that be amazing instead of just having one or two people? That was sort of our thinking behind it.
It's a fantastic long-term perspective and the type of thinking that we need more of. What's the age mix of the fellows in the program?
So originally, when Jess and I were thinking about this, we really want to focus on young women, women who were between the ages of 18 to around 34, 35, because we thought to ourselves, when youth gets represented in politics, it's usually through youth parliaments or some special bodies who come and present an idea and then everyone claps and then they go home and nothing actually gets done. So we really wanted to make sure that these women get represented more. But then I had a really interesting conversation with Anna Johnson from UN Women Australia, who said, hang on, there are some incredible women that do not fit within this age bracket, who might be, you know, 35 to older, or who might be 17, who are interested in politics, and you're not welcoming them and including them because of this idea that only youth voices should be represented. And I was like, okay, you know what, I think you're right. And by us sort of changing the minds, we had some incredible candidates who were, you know, in their 50s and executives in mining companies that want to get skilled up on politics and campaigning. And the issues that they were facing when you know, thinking about entering politics were completely different to the issues someone who is 18 or 21 or 35 are facing. But the incredible mentoring that started happening between the different ages is something that happened so naturally, and we didn't think of it at the start at all. So we are really happy that we changed our mind on that. So the youngest candidate for campaign school was 17 in week one of campaign school last year, and graduated successfully by the end of campaign school. And I think the oldest campaign school fellow was about 49 or 50. So the age mix is something that is absolutely fantastic, and the mentoring that happens is much needed, because while the older generation might be great at fundraising and networking, the younger generations are fantastic with social media. They understand policies and policy writing so much better. So I think that all of these different age groups can learn from each other.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, my reflection on that, I haven't been involved in politics before, and I'm 47. And one of the problems I think we have in our parliament is that half of the people there have only ever worked in politics. So it's a very insular worldview. And I think we do need that diversity of professional experience, as well as diversity of cultural and gender and age, to really get the best out of our parliament. But I've found it really interesting coming in fresh at this point and making the interesting trade-offs between when you listen to the expert advice and do things the way they're done, and when you say, no, I'm not going to do it like that, I'm doing it my way, and have the confidence to actually reject the expert advice and do things differently, because we do want different voices and different approaches in our political system. And one of the things I think about going in with a bit more life experience is that I think you feel more confident in saying, I'm going to do things my way, probably for better and for worse. But it's been really, really interesting. And one of the things I've found fascinating is the number of people of my 500 campaign volunteers, the number of people who have never been involved in politics before in any way and are now feeling inspired to actually get involved and contribute and stand up, which is really reassuring. I'm interested in your thoughts on the level of political apathy, especially in a younger demographic. I've met a lot of people, young people, who are very passionate about politics, and also a lot of young people who don't want to have anything to do with it. What do you think's driving that, and what do you think it would take to increase that level of engagement?
That's a really, really good question. And I'm definitely going to be in touch about campaign school to make sure that we capture all these incredible volunteers that you've inspired, and we can put them through our campaign school to make sure that they can run their own campaigns in the future. But back to your question about the apathy. As someone who's worked at a university for about a decade on and off, and I've been working with students that might be, you know, 17 or 18 at the time. And when you sort of start having conversation about politics, one thing that is quite apparent from my personal experience is they know quite a lot about what is happening. A lot of the times they just don't understand what it means for them personally and what they can do about it. So I think that our education system overall is still forcing especially young people to think about facts and names and events instead of trying to sort of put it together and engage in critical thinking and actually take what they need out of that information and how it applies to them. So that would sort of be my first thing that I would suggest is we should definitely teach more critical thinking, and not just at universities, but like very early on, I would say primary school, right, if we could. And secondly, I think that there should be a lot more focus on teaching young people skills on how they can change what is happening around them, right? We have these wonderful subjects in high school and in university, such as chemistry and physics, which are incredibly important, and we memorize a lot of things. But do any of us know, you know, how the local council is run and what are sort of some of the issues that the local council deals with and how that actually can impact the quality of their life, right? Or what state parliament does and how state parliament actually, again, changes the quality of their life and what they can do about it if they're unhappy, that if there is an issue that they're passionate about, they just need to realize, like, am I passionate about it on a policy level? So do I want to change a policy in Western Australia or the policy federally in Australia? Or is this sort of something that I'm more passionate about on a local level? Let's just say climate change. If you're passionate about climate change, you can contact your council and ask about recycling, right? You can demand that you do more. You can create a little coalition and you can ensure that they answer to your emails, to your visits to the council. You can actually make it to the council meeting and ask questions. Or you can sort of say, hey, I just really want to make sure that we are not using plastics in Western Australia. So you can write to a local member and you can work with them. And same way, like, okay, you want to do something more or you want to get engaged federally, ask your federal member what they're doing and how they're going to be supporting mm-hmm. you. So I feel we're not necessarily giving young people the tools on what to do with all this wonderful information that we are forcing them to learn and memorize at times. We're not actually giving them the tools to use it. That is sort of I think personally.
I think that really resonates. And I think also there are so many things happening in the world that are scary. And it's very overwhelming, you know, when you think of climate change and what's happening in the Ukraine and you know, so many policy issues that just seem too big and make you feel quite powerless. And one of the things I've seen in my campaign in the last 6 weeks is the positive, I think, mental health benefit of feeling like there's actually something you can do. With people who have all this pent-up energy and desire to have an impact, but there aren't. It's really hard to find those channels for how you can use that energy, and how you can turn it into something. And a really lovely example, I think, was that TV series War on Waste that was shown a few years ago. It was the Chaser guys, Craig Rucastle, who did it, and it had this wonderful formula of saying, here is a problem. Here's a data visualization in a fun way to show you the size of the problem. And then here's one behavioral thing you can change that you can feel good about that makes a difference. And my kids who were, my son who was 12 at the time, became obsessed with straws at cafes. And if we were ever in a cafe and he was served a straw, he would ask to see the manager and say, please stop giving people straws. And he got straws banned at a couple of local cafes, and it was a really empowering experience for a 12-year-old to think you can actually do something if you step up. And so I completely agree that in our education system and into adulthood too, finding the ways to empower people to actually have an impact and be part of their you know, broadly political system, but the way their communities work is something that we've fallen down on, and there's real potential to do it differently.
Absolutely. And I love that example with the straws. We have a neighbor who always watches me. He's about 10, and whenever I'm going to the bins, he always makes sure that I put the recycling in the recycling bin, and then he goes through it and he's like, well, I'm not really sure this is recycling, and did you wash it? So I think that the next generation, they are onto something and they're a little bit more empowered, but I feel like we really need to make sure that we harness this passion about, you know, where various issues that they want to change, and really give them the tools, whether the tools might be good interpersonal skills or social media or technology. We really need to make sure that we explain how everything is connected and how you can actually change something just by yourself. And I think that the Greta Thunberg example is such a powerful one, because that is someone who virtually started from, you know, protesting outside of school with one sign, and that became a global movement. So yes, I got a little bit lost there, but
building that sense of agency is so important. So Martina, tell us, what does the future hold for She Runs in Western Australia or beyond?
Yeah, so we're really excited. We just welcomed two new board members will help us propel the organization further. So this year is going to be about offering campaign school again to women. And we're sort of looking at the format of the campaign school and seeing what that's going to look like. Again, with the uncertainty of COVID in year three, we're sort of trying to figure out, is the format that we have at the moment the right one? Can we change it a little bit up to ensure that we can capture even more women? And we also want to focus on building the capacity of the women that are already in our cohort. So that's through workshops and through events. We constantly gather feedback and want to know sort of what are some of the either issues that you're passionate about or some of the skills that you think you need a little bit more upskilling at. And we want to sort of offer those for our current fellows, and it's 43 of them. So this year is going to be about maintaining the momentum. It's going to be about a third year of our research with Dr. Alexander Laxite at UW Business School. We're also going to get to present the research in Canberra at the Australian National University at one of their workshops. That is very exciting. So it's going to be a busy year, because I really want to make it clear that we're a volunteer organization. All of us, whether in the leadership or on the board, have full-time job or jobs. So this is sort of a work of passion for a lot of us. So I'm incredibly proud where we've been able to get to in the past 3 years. And we want to make sure that we are not turning through volunteers and we are treating our board members and everyone else nicely. So we always want to make sure that the company culture is present everywhere, present in everything that we're doing.
Fantastic. Well, Martina, I'd love to offer the opportunity to any of your current fellows or prospective fellows to come and experience some hands-on campaign experience in the next 8 weeks in my campaign. It's certainly a good learning opportunity for anyone who is interested in doing that. So, Martina, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really interesting hearing about She Runs and how you've established it and the fantastic thing that you're doing for Western Australia through that organisation. So well done to all your existing fellows. And for those who are interested in getting involved, I'm sure there's a link close to this podcast where you can find out more about it. So thanks for your time, Martina.
Thank you so much, Kate. And I look forward to following your journey in the next 8 weeks and afterwards as well. And I'll make sure that our fellows know about the opportunity to volunteer with you and to learn from you. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. To learn more about She Runs, visit sherun.org.au, or to find out more about Kate Chaney and her campaign, please visit katechaney.com.au.